Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Three of the Felger and Maz program is now commencing, so you can mark that off on your calendars. You've made it this far with me, Marshall Hook, and along with Michael Hurley, we've talked a lot of Patriots, delved a little bit into the suctitude that is Boston College. But you know what we're going to talk about now? We're going to talk about Gunsky.
We need some more Gunsky.
Gunsky in Dorchester. Talk to me, man.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, guys. Hey, right back at you.
So, hear me out here. You get a guy like Brady, who's obviously reached an old age, 40 years old. What do you think of a guy like Edelman or maybe even Burks? Burks had
Yeah.
What? Well, I tell you what I think about a guy like Edelman and a guy like Burkhead. I think
great receiver, great good
Patriots.
Running back.
Yeah. Here's what I think. I think that guy wasn't really going to be making a point. I think he was
the chuckle kind of gave it away.
And the hey guys, hey, we're not dumb.
No. But you know what?
I was ready to give him
a
chance.
He hung in there for a while.
He was on the phone for over an hour.
I think that probably hurt him. He had this whole grand idea in his head, but over the course of a half hour, it just...
He lost focus, and then when the moment came to step up to the plate, he failed.
You know why you gave him a chance? Because you are a professional, Marshall Hook.
I am. Listen, I'll give the dude a chance, and he couldn't come through, and he's less of a man for it. Thank you, Gunsky, for your contribution to today's program. And with that, I will turn my lonely eyes to the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics, who were in action right here on these airwaves last night, who I was told before last night's game by somebody on Twitter, I don't remember who, but I was told that the season begins today, yesterday. At the time, they told me the season begins tomorrow. The season begins with yesterday's game against the Philadelphia 76ers at home, basically saying that, you know, up till that point, the team was still kind of gelling together, and whatever happened, happened, and whatever didn't happen, didn't happen. But really, when it really started to matter is when they took on Philadelphia at home. I'm not entirely sure why they drew that particular line in the sand, but they did. Again, this random person on Twitter. And there was a degree to which there's part of that I understand. Because I, unlike a lot of people, looked at this team and I said that basically we were going to see what we've seen with a lot of NBA teams who had a big star. And you say, well, who's the big star that they added? Well, Gordon Hayward is, because he didn't play last year, save for those 5 minutes, and I don't think that the gelling really happened. So this was the first time at the start of this year that you were going to have Gordon Hayward really playing with Kyrie Irving, really coming together. And I think, again, you see a lot of times when you put together a new team with more than one superstar, it takes a while for that team to come together. And also as part of that, you had to have guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum relearn their roles or refine what their roles are going to be on this team that has Gordon Hayward on it. And that takes, I don't know, 20, 30 games or so.
Sure.
And so we kind of get to that mark. And obviously Philadelphia, another theoretical powerhouse in the East. And so what did actually come, what actually happened in this game? I think I spent most of it thinking the Celtics were going to lose. I think a lot of people spent most of it thinking the Celtics were going to lose.
Well, it was one of those games where they're out ahead, and then it just sort of fizzles in the third quarter, and you've seen it so many times this year where they have a game in hand, and then they lose it, and you sort of say, oh, well, there, that happened again.
And what do? They force overtime, and then they win in overtime. Here's my main takeaway from that game, and it actually has nothing to do with the Celtics. It has everything to do with the Sixers team that, if we can go to the way back machine of really not that way back, were easily the favored team headed into their playoff matchup with the Celtics last year, right? Everyone pretty much said, well, the Celtics without Kyrie, without Gordon Hayward, it was nice that they got as far as they did, but now that they're going to take on this Sixers team, it's over. You know, it was a nice run, but now it's over. And what we saw was really a Celtics sweep, because all due respect to their the Sixers win in whatever game that was, game four.
I recall the officiating being rather suspect that evening.
It was dicey, I would say. Dicey indeed. I think that it was one of those league-mandated, let them get a win. So I count it as a Celtics sweep of the Sixers, and I feel like the Sixers kind of counted it as that as well, because I did not see a lot of fight in them near the end of that series. And what I saw in overtime was pretty much the same thing. And I know that everyone looks at, everyone who has looked at this game, the back-to-back threes from Kyrie Irving as the game winner. Like, it sealed the game. And I would say statistically that is true, because that's when they got a lead that was never given back and they went on to win the game. But the Celtics had a four-point lead with, what, 30, 35 seconds left? This is not exactly an insurmountable lead, all right? 4 points in an NBA game with in excess of 30 seconds is not like something, oh my God, I can't believe they rallied from that. But they did. They gave up. They didn't foul. They did eventually, but there was no urgency from the Sixers. They just looked like, well, those back-to-back threes, well, we've lost. That's it.
And I think
it's over.
What stands out is obviously these two teams are not reigning atop the conference the way we expected them to at the end of last year. It seemed like they were going to be on a collision course to be the 1 and 2 seeds for the next 3 or 4 years. Clearly this season, neither team has really soared to that level, but maybe they'll end up there. But I think the difference for Philly was supposed to be Jimmy Butler, because for as much as he could be a problem or a headache off the court, they needed an alpha at the end of a game to just sort of say, give me the ball, clear out. I'm Jimmy Butler. I'm a top 10 player. I'm going to win this game. Yesterday was it was Christmas Day in Boston. It was a chance to do that. And there was a possession. They ended up hitting the shot, but Wilson Chandler, of all people, was running hot. And Jimmy Butler has an open look at a three. And instead of taking it, he just dishes it over to Chandler, which I get, it worked. He hit the shot. But I think that was where Jimmy Butler was at yesterday. He wasn't in killer mode the way that Kyrie was. And I think that's what Philly desperately needed, and that's what they don't have. And another play that stood out to me that was sort of infuriating is, I forget if it must have been a block or a loose ball. The ball kicks to Simmons with four on the shot clock, and he puts up a mid-range jumper and swishes it. It's like the guy who's terrified to ever shoot from more than 5 feet away from the basket puts a beauty of a stroke on the ball without an issue. And it's like that team hasn't quite, this is going to be a problem for them this year, next year. I don't see them climbing that, getting over that hump.
I mean,
Sixers,
I know
that is.
That Jimmy Butler is one of those players that people in Boston definitely wanted to join the Celtics. But, and I may have been that guy too, I don't know that what we've seen from Jimmy Butler in the last year, that he's the kind of player that you actually want. He shot himself out of two different towns, didn't exactly cover himself in grace doing it, and has shown up in Philadelphia where he's not exactly a steadying veteran influence that maybe they expected him to be.
I mean, he hit a couple game winners when he first got there. I think that's, I almost, given that it's the NBA, I sort of gloss over what happened in Minnesota. I feel like that is sort of part of the business, part of the league, that when you are a supremely talented player, it's problems seem to, you know, headaches seem to follow. That's why I think the way the Celtics built the original big three with Pierce, Garnett, and Allen was perfect, because they had sort of been through that phase of their superstar careers and just wanted to win, whereas earlier in the superstar's career, it's a little bit more tricky. So that part wasn't even a red flag to me, but I was very underwhelmed by Jimmy Butler yesterday. He was not the best player on the court by any stretch, and I think he has the ability to be, but he was not there.
Is Jimmy Butler a guy that I'm going to assume that you were in the class of people who wanted him on the Celtics.
Sure, at a certain point. I mean, once it's sort of formulated where you had Kyrie, Hayward, and then sort of the rise in Tatum and Brown, you could sort of step back on that a little bit, but this year maybe change it. But I think, yeah, at a certain point. I'm not in the, I know still we can't talk about the Celtics ever for a day without mentioning Anthony Davis.
Oh, I have every intention of doing it.
Okay, I feel like this could be it. Like, let's just see what this, like, it took like 5 years for this to come together and finally happen. And Gordon Hayward isn't himself. And so it's like, oh, Anthony Davis. It's like, can you just ride out what was built? Like what was designed and what they were shooting for? Like they finally reached it. Like, let's see what happens.
All right. Well, so let's talk about that a little bit, because it's not as though Kyrie Irving, I think, necessarily needed to make this his team, right? I think that it was already clearly that last year, and I think he showed plenty of leadership last year. But if, as the anonymous Twitter egg said to me, that the season began yesterday, how do you feel about that season with what you saw yesterday?
So that yesterday was opening night?
Yes.
I mean, it was a reminder that Kyrie Irving on certain days can be the best player in the world. And I think that is something that no other team can have on a night-to-night basis. And it's tricky because obviously another quiet game from Jaylen Brown. I thought Tatum was massive. I thought Tatum, I mean, maybe the numbers don't pop exactly, but he had a huge block. He had huge rebounds that killed second chance opportunities for Philadelphia. So I think as much as Kyrie was the one doing the most damage scoring, you see guys like Marcus Morris being an integral part of this team, which maybe no one really had pegged last. I remember last May when the season ended, he sort of didn't even know if he'd have a spot on the team. He's been important. So I think as much as Irving steals every headline when he goes off for 40 like that, it's not as if he's doing it by himself. I think there was a lot. Horford's defense on Embiid in the fourth quarter especially really shut down. It just gummed up the works for Philly. And I think there was a lot of things working beyond Kyrie that makes you, yeah, yes, the 40 points obviously pops, but there's a lot going right for them.
I also think if you take a look at two guys who were a huge part of this team's, particularly their playoff run, but their year last year, that would be Terry Rozier and Brown, who are tied for dead last in minutes played in yesterday's game. So if again, we're treating this as the season opener, what does it tell you that Terry Rozier and Brown are not getting playing time? They're not. I mean, they got almost Terry Rozier got half as much time as Kyrie Irving did, and they got 20 minutes each, which is roughly half as much as most of the starting guys got. That is probably not the way I think people wrote up this season to go, particularly with Jaylen Brown. Like with Terry Rozier,
right,
obviously he's a backup player, and that was part of the plan. I don't know that people had Jaylen Brown tagged for 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, I think that's been, I mean, it's, I think that's why you have Brad Stevens. That's someone who can actually connect with these guys and not lose them. I think we talked about the Jimmy Butler situation. A lot of NBA teams would sort of have already, I think maybe not crumbled, but been in a lot more disarray. I think with the Celtics, you see them lose games they should be winning, and maybe that's the point where these, you know, unidentified roles have to find their way, have to find what they are to this team, because the losses have to punch these people in the gut.
And you know, I also, you know, think it says something when Jaylen Brown, who was a high draft pick, who was definitively billed as part of the future, with him scuffling, struggling, whatever word you want to use, and maybe it's a permanent thing and maybe it's not. I doubt that it is. I still have, you know, a lot of faith in his rebounding. But I think on a lot of teams, when you see a high draft pick, somebody who's supposed to be more than they are right now, and you could even put Gordon Hayward in that, when they're not that, I think that can be very destructive to the fabric of a team. And I think it is a testament probably to the coach that in this case, guys struggling like Hayward, like Brown more so, is not apparently destructive. They haven't become bad influences. I don't think you've heard anything from them. Terry Rozier, maybe a little bit, but the other guys, you haven't heard much from them. And I think that's a testament to whether it's the leadership of the players, but more likely the coach.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to, what was it, a month or so now, maybe longer than that, when Kyrie said, we need a 15-year vet to come in. I think what Kyrie was saying there was, we need just sort of a bad guy to deliver these young guys, you know, news they don't want to hear, hard lessons they don't want to hear, because I don't think Kyrie wants to do that. I think he's sort of begrudgingly having to be the veteran leader, where he would rather have a guy come in and sort of tell these guys what's what. Guys that have been through the ups and downs of the leagues, guys that have played with, you know, top five picks that have either fizzled or shined and everywhere in between. I think that's what they still lack. So I think that the process to figure it out is going to be a little bit bumpier.
I mean, Al Horford's been around for a little while.
Yeah, but he's not a bad guy. You know what I mean? You need like I don't have the guy off the top of my head, but someone who could come in.
Not that just, guy, basically.
I mean, Sam Cassell came in on the 07-08 Patriots Celtics. And I think he was like sort of that mold, but those guys didn't necessarily need that because they were a veteran-laden team. I think, I don't know what guy is out there that can just come in and just sort of, you know, be the bad guy because he's got nothing to lose. Kyrie has a lot to lose if he, you know, makes his teammates hate him.
617-779-0985. That's the phone number. Right here, 98.5, the Sports Hub, Felger and Maz on a Wednesday afternoon. You know, there's nothing more rocking than a rejoin. I mean, these little snippets of music just get me pumped up every single time. They're not at all well-played, repetitive.
You know, last year, or was it the year before, I banged out like 40 little rejoin clips, brought them in. Happened to be a day Hardy entered the building to do just that, and he was like, oh, thanks. So the good news is some good music on, but I think when the station moves, we died. But it was a good run.
I mean, can we identify the artist of this this rockin'... No, we couldn't tell you. No.
Sounds like when you, like, in, like, Sega Genesis,
I was gonna
NCAA
say,
Football
like
96 on the menu. When you pick BC versus Boise State.
Oh, well, listen, we're going to get to... We're not done with BC, apparently.
That game
but
be
first,
canceled.
First, friends, caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, which is 617-931-0985. Not the caller line, the contest line, will score a pair of tickets to ski Neshoba Valley and a $50 gift card to their Outlook restaurant. Why drive when you can ski, ride, or tube so close to home at Neshoba Valley Ski Area?
You ever do the tubing there?
I have never done the tubing anywhere.
It's pretty good. It's fast.
All right. You want to go?
Let's go right now.
Later?
Let's do a remote.
Oh, that'd be nice. Michael Riley will stay here. He'll finish out the program.
Yeah, I'm not a ski guy, so
no,
I'm
tubing.
Happy to
We're talking
here.
Tubing.
Oh, yeah. What the
tubing.
Heck? You can do that.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So, listen. Here's the thing. Let me let me make one thing abundantly clear. I went to Boston University as a student. I did my 4 years there. My wife did the same.
My wife went to BU as well. I did not, though. I didn't get in. I didn't apply.
My dad went to BU.
Look at that.
My wife then returned to BU and got her MBA from BU, and she has been an employee of Boston University in excess of 20 years.
Okay.
So I am. We got married.
Do you have a Boston Terrier?
We do not. Oh. We do not have that. We have a stuffed one or two, and I have a pair of socks covered in Boston Terriers. We got married at BU's Marsh Chapel, so I am BU through and through.
But yet you're wearing a Georgia Tech
That's fine. My nephew,
today.
Will, is a freshman at Georgia Tech, and
right,
this
understood.
Was a gift from him to
Plus
me.
Plus, it looks so comfy.
It is very soft. Yeah. It is also very brand new. The first time I wash it, it won't fit anymore, and I'll have to give it to somebody else because I'm a big man.
My laundry does that, too. My clothes keep shrinking.
Yeah, it's amazing. So anyway, all of this. This is to say that I am definitively and in every way, shape, or form a BU guy, which by definition means BC sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no two ways around this. It's there aren't Red Sox fans who also like the Yankees. If you like one, you don't like the other, and that is the situation with Boston University and BC sucks. So the dude on Twitter who asks, why the BC bashing? Well, it's because they suck.
I think there's also not just the BU crowd. There's sort of a strong Boston contingent of sports fans that just don't like BC.
Well, first of all, they're not in Boston. This is a fundamental problem for me. They have a reputation, particularly of their campus, that far exceeds reality. People talk about, like, what a beautiful campus
the
BC
Heights?
Has. No, they don't.
It's don't a bunch of the language?
A bunch of granite buildings that all look the same. They've got wide expanses of concrete. And I understand BU doesn't have a campus, but BU's a city school. It doesn't purport to have a campus. It doesn't
camouflage
pretend
into
to
the
have
city.
A campus. It's just... a city school. BC talks about a beautiful campus that just isn't the case. They don't have one.
I'll say this. I'll provide some balance, even though I'm definitely more BU. When it comes to hockey, BC can get out. But I find it's generally, I appreciate when BC football and BC basketball is relevant. And the basketball, it's been quite a while since we've had to worry about that. But when the football has like a big game, like the one against Clemson this year, it's fun to throw on a Saturday night and know that the team's at least local. And would probably have been a little bit more competitive if the quarterback didn't get hurt in the opening minutes.
I can't decide which alumni base are more annoying to me personally, Boston College or Syracuse, but it's one or the other.
Cute.
Anyway, I'm not the only one who feels this way. Matt in Watertown, talk to me, man.
Hey, guys, what's up? How you doing?
All right.
You're doing a great job today. I got to say, I'll answer your question right away. The BC football fan base is absolutely the worst. you go to BC games, either football or basketball, even when they're good, it's probably the easiest ticket in town. I've been on the floor watching top-notch ACC games since Boston College joined, and it's just the absolute worst environment for them, for a Boston sports team, and I understand why everyone hates them, and it's so classic that their bowl game got canceled because really, literally, no one cares. Even on the national stage, no one cares. And, you know, no one's going to remember the bowl game getting canceled because they're playing in whatever Cheez-It.com bowl. I don't even know. But it's a mockery to Boston sports. I really feel like we should annex them from the Boston sports scene.
All right. I think Matt in Watertown speaks to my soul.
It was a couple of years ago, maybe. I don't know. It was two years ago. Both Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson came through BC, and I was watching on TV. I'm contributing to the problem that I'm speaking of, but no one was there. It's like two of the best two Heisman candidates later in the year, and no one's there to see Deshaun Watson or Lamar. I think they both won handily, so that was sort of spoke to why people weren't there. But still, it would have been, you know, you could have got a good seat to see probably the best quarterback in the country.
Even this year too, when Clemson came to town, they were number two in the country. You saw going into that game that Martin Jarmon, the athletic director of BC, was begging fans to get in there before kickoff.
Well, people like drinking in the parking lot, from my experience. Yeah, not that I would know about
being
that.
Filled up before the first quarter, and they had to have discounted items at the concession stand in order to get people in their seats a half hour before kickoff. That is sad. That's a fraud.
Have you ever partaken in the tailgates there, though?
Yeah, they're good.
For Boston, they're about as good as it gets.
It's not bad.
But you've got to be in there as a fan. It's not like the SEC. Well, when I would go, I wouldn't really care about getting in there for the opening kick, if we're being honest.
I'm sorry. If you have ACC competition, you've got to be filled up with teams like that, take advantage of home field advantage. They're not doing that.
That actually was a tough ticket, I will say.
It was very tough.
They were. You know, I looked because it was an event, but yeah. No, they were pricey.
Yeah.
So do you know who the primary sponsor of the Armed Forces Bowl was? I believe you made mention of it earlier.
ServPro.
Do you know what the slogan for ServPro is?
Oh, no. Boy, is it going to be ironic with the weather?
Like it never happened. Like it never happened. So right on the side of the van.
How appropriate.
Like it never even happened. That would be Boston College and the ServPro Bowl. Thanks to somebody named Polar Ginger on Twitter, who let me know about that.
Well, that was cursed from the beginning then.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? I know I need to get to a break, but rather than that, I'm going to ask Jack in the Car to be quick so we don't do an entire new segment on BC sucking, but Jack in the Car wants to talk about BC real quick, too. This would be your cue to talk, Jack.
Terrific. Thank you, guys. So here's my thing. I've been doing this for years. I actually went to graduate school at BC, and I grew up in Newton. But here's what BC, if you ask a BC fan, what's the best school in Boston? He'll scratch his head.
All right, what happened? Jack, you're...
And then you'd say...
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Oh, Jack, it's just not working out. I think he was going to say that BC people think they're the best school, regardless. Like, BU students are not going to pretend that they're better than Harvard. I think BC students will.
Well...
And that's just one more reason not to like them.
Harvard also is not in Boston. Nor is MIT.
Yeah, whatever. 617-779-0985. That is the phone number. We're not going to have any commercials here. We're going to go straight to Michael Riley's headlines and then back to you. Gunsky, I know I promised I'd get to you like a half hour ago. Well, I'm going to fulfill that promise no matter what happens on the other side of these headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's the Felger and Mass program. My name is Marshall Philip Hook the first. His name is Michael Hurley the first. Fourth.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's probably a few out there. There's a famous Australian rules football player and a famous folk singer. So if you Google me, you won't find me really.
I know I've talked about this on the air before, am one of four Marshall Hooks that I have found worldwide.
Yeah.
One of them, a native Canadian who now makes his home in London. I found that person because, and we're going way back, when I first signed up for an email address.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to be Marshall Hook at Hotmail.com, and that one was taken.
Wow.
And so the very first email I wrote for my ultimate Hotmail address, which I won't share.
Marshall Hook 2 at Hotmail.com.
Marshall Hook underscore the other. I wrote an email to Marshall Hook at Hotmail and basically said, who are you and why do you have my name? And he and I exchanged some emails. And then through the advent of Facebook, I found the other two. One of them in Michigan. And I'll admit, when I first discovered him on Facebook, it looked a little dicey.
He wasn't representing the Marshall Hook brand as well as you would have liked.
He wasn't as well as I'd like, but he seems to have put his life together. He appears to have gotten married. He and I are not friends,
but I can check his photos now and again.
He appears to have cleaned himself up a little bit, gotten married. The other one in South Carolina is a mess.
No.
He is an absolute mess.
Three out of four ain't bad, though. Assuming you're not a mess.
Heavily tattooed, which isn't in and of itself an issue.
Sure. It's 2018, Marshall.
You're just painting a picture.
It is 2018. Heavily pierced as well. Mm. He doesn't appear to hold down a regular job. A lot of motorcycles involved. And
sounds like a cool guy.
You know, like here's the thing. Like tattoos.
I'm not hearing the bad part.
Tattoos, fine, whatever. It's not something I have, but I understand that it's far more commonplace now. Face tattoos, I feel like there's still a thing with that. Like,
a little bit.
You know, getting the sleeves or whatever, that's fine. You know, that's cool. Obviously, Jimmy Sleeves sits in this studio all the time. But, like, when you do it to the face, I feel like that puts you in a different class of ink wearer.
What if you're ugly to begin with and the ink helps?
Well, in that case, you know what? Far be it for me.
Yeah.
But that is the fourth Marshall Hook. Marshall Hook of South Carolina, not a guy that I think he and I would be friends.
You've got two last names, the rare two last names. You hear a lot of two first names. That catches a lot of flack, but two last names, you don't see that as often.
Well, Marshall, sometimes they say opposites do attract.
You think me and the other Marshall, South Carolina Marshall, would get along well?
It'd be a good radio show. Like Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
What makes them different makes them great.
Yeah, I don't know about that show.
Oh, good time. So listen. Before we went into the break, you were asked for thoughts.
Yeah, I saved them.
And specifically, the goalie situation. Obviously, at the start of this year with the Bruins, and, you know, starting many years, you had a primary goaltender in Tuukka Rask, and they went out and they signed a new backup in Yaroslav Halak. It would appear as though those roles aren't quite as clearly defined.
Yeah, well, the question was, will there come a time where Cassidy says, you know, Halak's really the number one and Rask is more of the backup? Maybe where instead of Rask used to get two and then Halak would get one, it would be the other way. And I think that happened last week. I think it stood out. And I said it to Johnston on Monday, Ryan Johnston. I was in with him and I said, I thought when this happened, it would be a bigger deal. Yet it hasn't even gone mentioned, really, that last week you go at Montreal, you go to Halak. Thursday at home against Anaheim, it was Halak. And then Saturday against Nashville, it was Halak. And then, you know, give Tuukka the Sunday before the break. So I think it's kind of happened. And it's kind of what stands out is that they're doing it despite the fact that, you know, putting aside Tuukka's opening night fiasco, they've pretty much been level with each other. I mean, Halak was the best goalie in the league for his first month of the year. So, but since then, their numbers are pretty comparable. They're within, you know, 5 points on save percentage, and their goals against is pretty much in tune. It's just Halak wins more. And whatever you want to put that in, I think the coach is buying into to whatever's working when that happens. But it happened last week. Halak was the starter, and Rask was the backup. Two U's, two K's, backup.
And when Rask took his leave, I think it was only a handful of games, like two or three games, something
right.
like that, right? Three games, says Mike Riley. And so when I'm looking right now, Halak has started 21 games to Tuukka Rask's 18. So even if you put into account three games, they basically, at worst, are starting the same number of games. And to your point, Halak is 12-5, Tuukka Rask is 8-8.
Right, and it's like one of those things where statistically there's no maybe explanation for it, but it's sort of the old saying that gets said in this room a lot is they play harder in front of that. I don't think that's the case, but what's happening, the results are the results, and I think to me it's stunning that it didn't really make any waves or headlines last week because I've always said around mixed company, never speak about religion, politics, or Tuukka Rask because the emotions and the anger and the rage and whatever, it just gets too muddy. So for this to happen and not to really register, it was kind of weird. So maybe blame the Patriots for stealing everyone's attention. I don't know. But Last week, your starter was not Tuukka Rask.
And I'll tell you when I noticed it. There's, and Mike Riley can speak to this, when you do headlines a lot, you retain a lot of this stuff. Like, that's it's a very formulaic thing. And so I was doing multiple days in a row, and I know that I had a Bruins game, and Halak started, so I was fully ready to say, and Tuukka Rask will be in net. I'm like, oh, no. Halak is back in net tonight. And so I kind of noticed then and took a look back. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's been starting more than Tuukka Rask. So
Rask has had one back-to-back start in the past however long, a month.
I mean, if it is coming as a surprise to those of us who cover sports on a regular basis.
Two back-to-backs.
I think that probably speaks to it, because I think in most people's heads, if you asked them who's the starting goalie for the Bruins, they'd say Tuukka Rask. And if you asked, you know, like, he's probably started twice as many games as Halak. And at this point, as we just identified, that's just not even remotely true. But to your point, I don't think people have noticed.
Right. And I think, well, so what is the point? So what? And I think what you can learn is that, you know, I've been, I guess you'd say, like, it gets so simplified, but Tuukka Rask has been a very good goalie for this team. He has played at a championship caliber. Granted, it has been a few years since he's done that. I think what you've learned this year is you can live without him. I think had you had, the way that Halak has been playing has been good enough for this team that I don't know that, you know, trading Rask is a realistic possibility. I don't know that given the contract, given the history, given you don't know how long Halak's going to do this, maybe that's not realistic. But I think what the Bruins have learned is that they can get by without their $7 million a year goalie.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Bates, Wayne, John, I see you all lined up. We're going to get to you after the break. We're also going to get to another giveaway. I don't care that Felger and Mass are gone. We're still giving stuff away. We've got one coming up right after this break. Some nice something you can hang in your closet, Michael Hurley. This is something you might be interested in. An authentic Bruins winter classic jersey.
They got sharp-looking stuff, not going to lie.
So that's coming up right after this here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And I told you twice, why be mean when you can be nice? Come on, be kind to me.
I was wondering,
can't you see?
You know who this is?
I do now.
Yeah, this is Michael Hurley.
Never actually heard his music. You'd think I would have checked out at some point, but Billy Lanny changing my life.
I can tell you, if the heavily inked, heavily pierced Marshall Hook of South Carolina were making music, I would have listened to it by now.
Yeah, I don't know what I've been waiting for, but this guy's a big deal. Bigger than me.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
If you can believe that.
I find that hard to believe. Hey, you know what? We got another giveaway. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, which is 617-931-0985. We'll score an authentic Bruins NHL 2019 Bridgestone Winter Classic jersey. This comes from Coors Light, official partner of the Boston Bruins. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. You can't win that, Mike Hurley. I'm sorry.
I'm excluded from the available candidates of winners.
You are not allowed to win that jersey. Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you care about the Winter Classic?
I like watching it on TV, and I think it'll always, you know, sell a good number of tickets because it's sort of a fun thing to go to. But I think nationally, if your local team isn't involved, it's been so oversaturated at this point that there's it's not an event, really. Unless you just watch every national hockey game that is televised, it's not really a draw. I mean, they've overdone it, but I still think it's worth doing because of the event that it creates for the people that actually go there and for the local fan bases and whatnot. But it's there's been one too many outdoor games, I would say.
All right, I'm going to say this before we go to the calls. You people need to listen. It's the contest line. Not the normal line, not 779. It's 617-931-0985. Because
you sure it wasn't my takes that lit up the phone lines there?
Unless your conversation just now lit up the lines, like nine of these things lit up.
I do have that effect on people.
Oh, wait. Hurley's got a lukewarm take on the Winter Classic.
He says it's fine, but not the best anymore.
Oh, got to call in on that one. I'll tell you what, though. Bates in Bethel, Maine. Bates in Bethel, Maine. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Good.
Before I get into the Bruins, I just want to give a shout-out to the UMass hockey team. You know, number two in the nation, guys like Cale Makar, Johnny Gelfand, just really getting it done out there. But now I've got to pick a bone with the Boston Bruins. You know, they have all this young talent, and I just feel like they're not doing anything with it. I don't know. Maybe, like, shift some place, pieces around. Cam Neely, like, play a little chess. Maybe go after a veteran guy, like maybe Ovechkin, dare I say.
Alex Ovechkin?
Yeah.
From the defending champion Washington Capitals?
Yes.
It's going to be tough to get him. It's going to be tough to pry him from the...
What do you give up?
The whole franchise, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, but Cole, let's. I mean, it's obviously ridiculous. Alex Ovechkin's not going to come here to the Bruins. I mean, he would come, but, you know, that's not a trade that's going to happen. But let's, now that we have a name, because when we were talking about this before, we didn't have a name. It was a mysterious figure out there. I would go ahead and say, let's go ahead and say you get Alex Ovechkin. Regardless of whatever it is you do to get him, are you better than Tampa Bay with Alex Ovechkin?
Probably.
I don't know that you are. I really don't. I mean, you're better, a better team than you are now. I don't know that you're better than Tampa Bay at that point.
I mean, leaving the Ovechkin part of it up, because I don't know what the point of that is, but I go back to last year. It's the series against Tampa Bay. It's kind of a must win. I think it was 2-1, and Cassidy throws Brian Gionta into the lineup. You know, that's where the Bruins were in terms of manpower. That it wasn't even like the worst decision, because it was worth a shot. But, of course, it didn't work out, and, of course, Gionta was on the ice for the overtime goal against, and, of course, you lose the series after that, after you go down 3-1. So I feel like just building the top six and not having the third line has been an issue, but I think, I don't know, the Ovechkin question's throwing me off. I don't know. Are you going to get Sidney Crosby, too? Maybe you get Crosby and Ovechkin, then are you better than the Lightning?
I guess
that what we're doing?
My overall question, I mean, he's the one who put Ovechkin in there. I don't know that there's any single one player that makes you a title contender. And I think that is a problem for the Bruins if they think they're contending for a title this year, or any fan does. I don't think they're a player away. I think they're more than that. And so it begs the question, what do you do if you're in this position where you are multiple players away from being a contender? Do you sit back and wait for your youth to develop, or do you just go ahead and put some out there in an attempt to become a third seed?
Well, to your point earlier, and to answer that question, the MO for the Bruins, going back to Shirelli and with Sweeney a little bit, has been to try to add, to try to get better. They've yet to really, they never sold at the deadline, even at years where they clearly weren't contending for a cup. So I think that's what, you know, the MO of the Bruins is to sort of make adds that you can. And you know, they haven't made championship caliber additions in a long time, but
I think they sometimes pay championship caliber prices for guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think of like the Brett Connolly additions and things like that, where they the year that they got with Connolly, they aren't. What was that? I get my years. I'm not going to get too deep, but what was it? 13. They got
Jágr. They gave
Jágr
up too much for a guy that just wasn't worth it. Really, when it comes down to it.
I mean, 13. They got Jágr after they didn't get Iginla. They try to make ads. That's what they
do. Wayne in Grafton has another idea of who they should bring back. Wayne, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Happy Festivus to all you guys. The last caller in Maine. I mean, obviously there's something wrong with people in Maine. I'm sorry to offend you people. Spending too much time in the wilderness. We're not going to get Ovechkin. I would like to get Lucic, but they need some guy like that to kind of protect guys. You know, I'm an old guy. I like all the violence in hockey, but you're not going to see that again. Before I continue with Lucic, I have to also say that, I really feel bad for all these BC boys that can't play football today. Yeah, right. As Maz would say, who gives a rat's ass? And Saj, I hope you had a good Christmas. Hope you got some wrestling gear, maybe some spandex shorts, and I hope your turkey was as moist as you are. Peace out.
Wow. Okay.
It's pretty good.
I actually did not have turkey. We had rib roast. It was delicious.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't care. There was a lot in there. He apparently wants Milan Lucic back, though.
I mean, he stinks. I don't know what he helps you with. Yeah, I mean, when Bergeron gets hit and you get a big fight night in Dallas, you could use a guy to sort of bully people around. But those days are gone. I think we got to start, you know, accepting that that's not part of the game anymore.
Here's the substance of how I would approach the rest of the season, because I keep putting out the question out there. I don't think you add. I don't. And I understand that you could, you know, definitively get better if you did. I just don't think, excuse my English, you can get better enough to make it matter. And I'm one of these
hockey.
People.
Like, it's hockey. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not... basketball. Whereas the fourth, fifth, sixth best team in the conference can make it to a cup final and maybe get... So there's always that hope and that belief that if things start going and clicking at the right time, you can be that team.
And I respect that about hockey, and I get that about hockey. I just think that that tends to be more true in a year where there isn't a play a team like Tampa Bay. And maybe I'm applying more because clearly... I mean, I think people generally know I'm a baseball guy first, and I'm applying that kind of mentality of a baseball team that's far and away above the rest generally does well in the playoffs. They don't win it necessarily, but they do well. And so maybe I'm applying that kind of approach to hockey, and maybe Tampa Bay isn't quite as unbeatable as I think that they are, at least in the conference. I just look at it from an overall odds point of view, that if I'm the Bruins,
sure,
maybe there is a team that can get really hot and therefore
knock off it's this team.
The team. I just don't think that it's the Bruins. And if what you're counting on is either Tuukka Rask or Yaroslav Halak to become Tim Thomas and ride that to, you know, glory, I don't know that I want to give up future to put a team together with that being my ultimate plan.
But isn't there a sort of sense of urgency, given that Bergeron's, what, 33, Chara's 40,
I don't know that I'm building around Chara anymore. Like, Chara, to me,
I know, but I'm saying fine. That this group, I mean, you do have a lot of guys. You have Pastrnak, Marchand, locked up long-term.
McAvoy. I mean, you do have young guys coming. And so, I mean, I guess it's the eternal question that you cover in every single sport. What is it that you're giving up to? What are you getting? And to me, it really just comes down to get that impact player, I think you would have to give up too much future in whatever form that is, and I just don't think this is the team to do it. You may have missed your window on at least Chara. I mean, you got a cup with these guys.
Well, Chara's going to play forever, so okay. I don't know if you watch his workout videos. Good Lord.
I've seen him ride the carnival rides, and he looked very happy doing that. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. This is the makings of an agenda-free Wednesday. So as I look at the call screener, we've got a thought on Terry Rozier. We've got a thought on the Bruins. Michael Hurley's walking out. He's had it with the program. He's done. Yeah. Mike Riley's going to get you caught up right now. No commercials, just the headlines. We'll be back here on Felger and Mazz in just mere moments from now.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.